In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go.
Tis time to pass the popcorn. Brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, 557 Stillwater Avenue, Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge in the house this afternoon. Happy Monday, Al.
Happy Monday to you as well.
You had a busy weekend of rehearsals.
I did. The crew in the UP. For Escanaba in the Moonlight is coming together. We actually had our designer run last night. And things are well in hand, actually. Wow. Knock on wood.
Now, does your character have to utilize that UP accent?
I'm the only one who doesn't.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is fine by me, because it's not an easy one. Mm. But the guys are working hard to make it work, and they're doing a great job.
Fantastic. Well, looking forward to it. It all opens on February 1st. Jeff Daniels, Escanaba in the Moonlight at Penobscot Theater Company, featuring the lovely and talented Alan Adams.
Yeah. No, and I'll be dressed as a forest ranger, too. So, ladies.
Hello. In plaid?
Oh, no. Like a legitimate park ranger kind of.
With a patch and everything?
With a badge and a gun.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He's the law.
I am the closest thing to the law that there is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
It's very nice. So you're busy and all, and there weren't a whole lot of new releases anyway. So you saw one film this weekend.
I did. I went to see, I saw Den of Thieves. It's a heist movie of sorts, starring Gerard Butler, among others. And I'm someone who really loves a good heist movie.
Mm.
There's something really wonderful about it. Just, you know, they're just sort of propulsive by nature. They have the inherent structure of the heist movie kind of ensures that there's a nice steady build to what one hopes is an elaborate and hopefully satisfying climax. And so, you know, like a good heist movie is great. Even like a bad heist movie can be a lot of fun.
Yep.
But the one thing it can't be is just sort of forgettable.
Oh.
And that's sort of where we come down with Den of Thieves. It's directed by a gentleman. It's his first time directing, Christian Gudegast. He's a screenwriter. He's written a couple of things. But this is his first time in the directorial chair. And it's kind of a mess. Like, the characters, their motivations are kind of muddy. The scheme is needlessly elaborate, but not in a fun way. And it's overlong. The runtime's like 2 hours and 20 minutes, and the last thing you want is for there to be a lot of air in this kind of movie. And it's just like there's a lot of unnecessary stuff that probably should have been left on the cutting room floor. And it's basically one of those things where it doesn't measure up to the very obvious influences that it's drawing from. The basic plot is you got two factions. You've got on one side, we're based in Los Angeles. On one side, there's a super successful, ultra-skilled, and sophisticated bank robbery team, because, of course, there is. the leader is a guy named Merriman, played by Pablo Schreiber, whose biggest credit that I could see is Porn Stash on Orange is the New Black.
Oh, all right.
So that guy. And it's a group of ex-military guys. One of them is, 50 Cent is one of them. And O'Shea Jackson Jr., who is Ice Cube's kid, he's another one. He's the driver. And this gigantic group of basically interchangeable, like enormous Pacific Islander dudes, like a bunch of Samoan guys. There's like half a dozen that roll through at various times. And I mean, they leave zero impression other than, you know, sheer size. On the other side, you've got the LA Sheriff's Department's Major Crimes Unit, led by grizzled, shady cop stereotype Nick Flanagan. That would be Gerard Butler. And he's got a bunch of, just a bunch of dudes with names like Murph and Zapata. And just like, you know, again, but honestly, it doesn't matter. Their names don't matter because they're all just interchangeable, like scenery. Like, they're all plot devices and scenery. Like, they don't matter. You know, one of the central points in this place is a German bar, because, you know, that's where people go to plan heists. Right. Is German bars in Los Angeles.
Would, sure, yeah.
But again, like, there are three dudes. There are like three dudes that matter in this movie, and it doesn't, you know, you don't need to remember any of their names. So anyway, the robbery crew decides they're going to go for a big score, which is the Federal Reserve location in Los Angeles. They have this incredibly elaborate plot filled with all sorts of ludicrous nonsense that doesn't make any sense if you think about it for more than a couple of seconds. And then, you know, the good guys, air quotes good guys, because, you know, they're cops who operate on, you know, in the gray area of the law. They've kind of tried to turn the Donnie, the one played by Ice Cube Jr., the driver, tried to turn him so they could kind of figure out what the next move is for this bank robbery crew. But then the bad guys immediately find out that Donnie's been turned, and so he tells them what he told the cops, and then they tell him what to tell the cops now, and blah 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 blah. It's just ridiculous. And then you have an overlong sequence of them trying to rob the Federal Reserve, and it goes about how you would expect it to be. Look, Den of Thieves is the kind of heist movie you get when it's made by someone who took one drink too many and tried to sit down and watch Heat, like the Michael Mann movie, because it's like there are moments where you're like, oh my god, like this is like, you definitely just ripped this off from Michael Mann. It's bloated. It's like, it's super long, like 140 minutes. You could probably take 40 of those minutes away and the movie would not suffer for it. It would actually probably benefit. Gerard Butler is grizzled, because that's what he does, even though he still kind of looks like a wad of pastry dough with stubble and an accent. He's tough, he's ethically challenged, but he also has feelings that he shows in ways that aren't necessarily all that interesting or engaging. Always nice to see 50 Cent being 50 Cent, because he's 100% playing 50 Cent. At least he's not named 50 Cent in this one. But yeah, the dude's not an actor. They just have him, trot him out to do his 50 Cent thing every once in a while. And, you know, more power to him. Like, sure. they're gonna keep signing checks. Like, he's going to keep cashing them. And then Ice Cube Jr., I'm not sure that we're gonna be able to get rid of him. Like, I think he's around. Like, his dad is Ice Cube, so I don't think you're gonna be able to like kind of shuffle him off anytime soon, which is unfortunate because he's not very good. And then the rest of them, it's like, you know, formless blobs of bad guy and good guy kind of scattered around, because you can't have a heist movie with just three people in it. Anyone who's seen this movie, I'm sure, will agree with me. The real heist is the $15.3 million that this movie stole from the American people at the box office this weekend.
Ooh. I like your description of Gerard Butler. I want to see that on his IMDb page.
And while I like the sound of Ice Cube Jr., may I just throw out Ice Chip?
Ice Chip? A chip off the old cube. I like it.
Yeah,
I like it very much.
While Alan is here, tomorrow Oscar nominations come out. What do you think will be among the films that get nominated for Best Picture?
I think there are a few that are pretty much slam dunks at this point. We'll see The Shape of Water, Three Billboards, Lady Bird,
The Post,
Dunkirk. I think Get Out will probably get nominated, which is good. And then it gets a little like, I don't think they'll go, they'll probably do 7 or 8. Like, I don't think they'll go all the way to 10. There are a couple like on the fence ones. Call Me by Your Name is one.
Any animated films that could sneak in this year?
You know, it's funny because Coco's a really good movie. But I just don't think the climate is right for that sort of thing. Like, it wasn't that sort of transcendent kind of animated movie, and it's got to be that kind of reach that level to make the Best Picture list.
What's a movie that you think might be on the bubble for getting a nomination that would really make you happy to see?
You know, I'd love to see The Big Sick get a nomination. Mm. I don't know that it will. I think it's probably on a lot of, I'm going to say, like, just outside the top 10 list for a lot of people. I would love to see, just generally, I would love to see, like, straight up comedies start to get a little bit more recognition. And I think the door is opening a little bit for more genre-oriented fare to get these kinds of nods. Get Out is a great example of a movie that really warrants being part of the conversation, despite the fact that I don't think coming into the year anyone would have anticipated a movie like that sort of resonating the way that it did. Because, I mean, it's a horror movie. Like, that's what it is. You know, a horror movie written by a sketch comedy guy who'd never directed before. So it's like, you know, there are a lot of strikes against it going in. But I think it transcended that and became really part of the zeitgeist in a way that very few other movies did this year.
Greta Gerwig snubbed at the Golden Globes. Will she get a Best Director nomination?
Oh, absolutely. Like, there's no way the Academy allows that to happen, especially in a year like this one. Particularly because she's really the only possible contender, I think. I mean, like, I've heard, like, whispers about, you know, like Sofia Coppola being a dark horse for The Beguiled or something like that. But that's not going to happen. No,
was it Patty Jenkins that did Wonder Woman?
Yeah. I've actually been surprised at how little I've been hearing about Wonder Woman as a potential nominee, just because it was such a... it really hit the scene hard when it came out. But again, you know, it's like that happened like 6 months ago. Yeah. It might as well be 6 years ago as far as Hollywood is concerned.
What's an acting performance that you'd love to see get recognized?
I loved Oldman in Darkest Hour. It's one of those things where, like, I'm a real big fan of the transformative performance, the physically transformative performances that don't become about the physical transformation, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea that that someone, you know, did all the work, whether it's, you know, the gaining or losing weight or the prosthetics and all that stuff, but then to have that sort of melt away and have it not be, oh, I'm watching famous person X, you know, uglied up to play this part. Like, I mean, like, Gary Oldman disappeared in that part, and that's something that's really difficult to do. Some other folks, that's the one that I really feel strongly about. I wouldn't be shocked, and then we'll see other guys nominated. Like, Daniel Day-Lewis will get nominated because he always does. James Franco, he won the Golden Globe, so I think it's going to be hard to keep him off the list now. A couple of the ones that I'm sort of, the Chalamet kid from Call Me By Your Name has been getting a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out. Who I think has been kind of getting short shrift a lot as far as this, because, like, he really was such a wonderfully central figure to the success of that movie. But I think a lot of that's been forgotten due to the sort of overarching message of the film, and particularly in the current climate, like, that the message kind of has sort of superseded all the pieces that went into making that movie happen. So we'll see. I think it'll have a good shot. Like Get Out will have a good shot in the screenplay category. I'd love to see Jordan Peele get a look at director. I don't think he's going to, but maybe he does. Like, it's just a question of who do you take off the list at that point. And the funny thing is, like, I'd put Peele in over Spielberg, which is crazy to say. But in terms of, no one's going to sit here and say that Jordan Peele is a better director than Steven Spielberg, but I think Get Out's a better movie than The Post. And I think Peele's singular vision is a larger reason why Get Out is good than necessarily what Spielberg did with The Post.
Alan Adams, thoughts on the Oscars nominations coming out tomorrow. We'll talk about those on the show. Al, thanks as always.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you again on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, okay. I'll be here.